Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with your pantograph for today's date, Wednesday, February the 14th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this article headlined, Welcoming Ordinance Remains Divisive Issue. A proposed city status highlights alderman-mayor disagreement. While Mayor Terry Renner said Tuesday he was, quote, cool as a cucumber, end quote, except when an alderman screeched, quote, screeched at him at Monday night's city council meeting, several aldermen were upset with his conduct, including allegedly disparaging them for asking to remove a welcoming city ordinance from the agenda. The issue of whether the council should adopt an ordinance limiting police interaction with federal immigration officials has aggravated an ongoing divide among the city's elected leaders, even as some aldermen talk about a joint meeting with the normal city council over a common approach to the issue. Where normal stands on the issue also is in dispute. Five aldermen, Dave Sage of Ward 2, Mobuk Miwalabiwa of Ward 3, Johnny Painter of Ward 5, Karen Schmidt of Ward 6, and Kim Bray of Ward 9, sent an email last week to interim city manager Steve Rasmussen, asking him to remove the ordinance from Monday's council agenda because they weren't ready to discuss it. Despite its removal from the agenda, Renner brought it up just before the end of the meeting, which drew about 100 ordinance supporters. When he did a sharp exchange of words between Renner and Painter and Schmidt left the two aldermen visibly upset. Quote, I think you saw my reaction. It wasn't good, said Painter on Tuesday. Quote, things have got to change or it's going to be an awful long 3 years, meaning until the end of Renner's current term as mayor, end quote. Asking Renner to resign is, quote, kind of a moot point, she added. He wouldn't do it. Renner said he did nothing inappropriate and there is no reason for him to resign. Renner's quote continues, there was nothing that happened Monday night that would justify people being that upset, end quote, said Renner on Tuesday. Quote, I was as cool as a cucumber as I recall, except when he raised his voice because Painter, quote, screeched at me, end quote. As Painter was talking about who decides what is on the agenda, Renner interrupted her and she raised her voice in reply, telling him to let her finish. Renner, I said, no, you're out of order, because she started going off, end quote, Renner said Tuesday. Quote, the mayor has the authority for who speaks and who doesn't, and I was correcting her, end quote. At that point Monday night, Painter replied to Renner, quote, I join Karen with a lot of dismay about dragging us through the mud. Not only do you do it publicly when we don't agree with you, but in the paper and on the radio, end quote. Schmidt also confronted Renner at the council meeting about reports that he had criticized the five aldermen last week at the Illinois State University Conference. She said Tuesday she spoke emotionally, but she was not crying. Quote, "So, Mayor, I have to say to you that it was with enormous dismay that I heard that you said to a social justice conference at ISU that the five of us were laughing about this, delaying the welcoming city ordinance, and popping champagne because there was nothing further from the truth," end quote. Schmidt told this to Reiner at the meeting. Renner said Tuesday he doesn't think that was the reason, quote, for why people were crying or upset, end quote. Renner suggested Schmidt was upset because she had been criticized on social media for favoring the ordinance and then siding with those who wished to delay a vote on it. Schmidt said Tuesday she spoke up, quote, because I felt his remarks at ISU disparaged the work that has been done on this issue as well as the people who have been working on it, end quote. After Sage asked Renner three times during the council discussion if he criticized the five aldermen at the conference, Renner said he didn't remember what he said. Normal Mayor Chris Koos, who was at the ISU conference, and Renner, quote, verbalized his disagreement with the group on his council, but Koos declined to elaborate. Quote, it's indicative of what we've seen other times, said Sage on Monday night. Quote, these are tactics that are used, and those of them who don't agree, we have to refuse to be bullied and not be shouted down and insinuated into submission, end quote. Renner started the conversation Monday night by chiding the five for sharing their email with the news media, but not with him or other members of the council. He also disputed the five aldermen's statement in their email that the town of Normal was not interested in pursuing a welcoming city ordinance, he said. Renner, quote, they, Normal officials, have changed their mind. In fact, Mayor Koos said, as well as others, that they are very interested in doing what we have, end quote, said Renner. Koos said Tuesday that was not entirely accurate. Koos is quoted as saying, my council outright has not completely rejected this, end quote, said Koos. But, again in quotes, they are watchful and they want Normal to be considered a welcoming community. But we have issues with a couple of the things that are in that proposed ordinance. I think we're open to a solution, but they don't feel it's there right now, end quote from Koos. Schmidt said she would be interested in meeting jointly with Normal officials as well as members of the Keep Families Together campaign, which has been advocating for the ordinance. Quote, at this stage, Normal City Manager Mark Peterson and McLean County Administrator Bill Wasson and this is Ms. Schmidt talking, are just at the very initial stages of talking about what might happen with this, end quote. Rasmussen said Tuesday, quote, so there's nothing definite and there's going to have to be a lot more conversation go on before or if we want to move forward on this, end quote. Six aldermen released a letter October 24th criticizing Renner for treating people with whom he disagrees in a way that is, quote, violates the shared values of the council and brings disgrace to our governing body, end quote. A proposal to strip Renner of the power to place items on the council's agenda was set aside in November as the council shifted towards stressing working as a team. And that concludes the article from page 1 on the Welcoming City Ordinance. In addition, there is a picture of people inside the Bloomington City Council meeting at City Hall, and several of the signs say respect existing or expect resistance, no ban, no wall. There are a number of people there, and also Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner stands amid these supporters of the welcoming ordinance at Mundy City Council. In addition, our second item on the front page is entitled FBI Probes Says Probe of Ex-Aide Closed. The director contradicts the White House timeline. So, this article is regarding FBI Director Christopher Wray in regards to Mr. Porter, who was released last week, Rob Porter, from the White House staff. Contradicting the White House, the FBI said Tuesday it gave the Trump administration information on multiple occasions last year about a top aide accused of domestic abuse by his two ex-wives, and the investigation wrapped up in January. That account by FBI Director Christopher Wray challenged the White House assertion that Rob Porter's background, quote, investigation was ongoing and White House officials first learned the extent of the accusations against him only last week, just before he abruptly resigned. Wray's testimony marked the last development in a scandal that has called into question the judgment of senior members of the White House staff, put new stress on the administration's already strained credibility with the public, and drawn accusations of tone-deaf handling of abuse allegations. The week-long fallout from allegations against Porter, President Donald Trump's staff secretary, has thrown the West Wing into chaos, not seen since the early months of the administration, and has sparked new rounds of recriminations inside the White House. Privately, officials acknowledge that the public timeline offered last week, that the administration first learned of the ex-wives' charges against Porter only last Tuesday, was flawed at best. Several senior officials, including Chief of Staff John Kelly and White House Counsel Don McGahn, were aware of the broad allegations against Porter for months, officials said. Kelly found out after requesting an update on the large number of senior staffers operating without full security clearances, according to a senior administration official who spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss internal decisions. McGahn told Kelly last fall there was concern about information in the background investigation involving Porter's ex-wives. The official said, and Kelly expressed surprise that Porter had previously even been married. Despite that, Porter took on an increasingly central role in the West Wing and was under consideration to serve as Trump's deputy chief of staff, two officials said. White House Secretary Sarah Huckabee, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders told reporters Monday, quote, the White House had not received any specific papers regarding the completion of that background check, end quote. Yet, Director Wray testified that the FBI sent the White House its preliminary report in March of 2017 and its completed investigation in late July 2017. Soon after that, the agency received a request for follow-up inquiry and it provided that information in November. Porter was interviewed about the allegations in September, an official said. Quote, and then we administratively closed the file in January, and then earlier this month we received some additional information and we passed that on as well, end quote. Director Wray added in his congressional testimony Tuesday without elaboration. The FBI does not make recommendations about whether to grant or deny a security clearance. Officials said, leaving the determination up to the employee's agency, in Porter's case, the White House. Saunders maintained Tuesday that her statement about ongoing investigation was accurate because Porter's clearance hadn't received a final sign-off from the White House Office of Personnel Security. Quote, this is by Huckabee, we find those statements to be consistent with one another, she said. The White House has refused to divulge the number of staff members who do not have full clearances, though the list includes Jared Kushner, the president's senior advisor and son-in-law, Kushner's attorney, Abe Lowell, said in a statement, quote, there are a dozen or more people at Mr. Kushner's level who are working without full security clearances. Separately, Trump's intelligence chief called for a top-to-bottom reform of the security clearance process, which allowed Porter to operate in his office for more than a year with only an interim clearance. Quote, we have a broken system, and I think everybody's come to agree with that now, quote, Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence, told the Associated Press. He called for limits on the information made accessible to those with temporary clearances, a practice that is currently not followed in the West Wing. An official said, meanwhile, Colby Holderness, Porter's first wife, pushed back against comments made by presidential counselor Kellyanne Conway that seemed to suggest strong women can't be victims of domestic violence. Conway, in a weekend interview on CNN, said she had no reason to disbelieve accounts by Holderness and another ex-wife that Porter had abused them, but when asked, she was concerned for top White House aide Hope Hicks, who reportedly was dating Porter, Conway said no, because, quote, I've rarely met somebody so strong with such excellent instincts and loyalty and smarts, end quote. Conway went on to say that, quote, there is no question that domestic violence knows no demographics or geographic bounds, end quote. And she understands there is a stigma that surrounds this issue. In an opinion piece, the Washington Post, Holderness wrote that Conway's first comments, quote, implies that those who have been in abusive relationships are not strong. I beg to differ. Porter resigned after Holderness and his second ex-wife, Jennifer Willoughby, came forward with allegations of emotional and physical abuse. Porter has denied harming his former partners. The White House approach has drawn criticism even from Trump's own party. Quote, I think you can't justify it, end quote, Iowa Senator Johnny Ernst told CNN about a report that the White House arranged for Porter to defend himself privately to reporters after the allegations surfaced. Quote, she said, "You can't justify that," end quote. Are you looking for some things ahead? This week at thepantograph.com, you will find on Thursday's edition, Bloomington's first Bacon and Beer Festival is ready to open for mouth-watering business. The event, which will match local brews with bacon-based food, kicks off Saturday night. You can read more in the Go section. And also, can you feel spring coming? Maybe not yet, but no matter. There's plenty to do in the Twin Cities and beyond in the coming weeks. Get a closer look with our weekly Go calendar. You'll enjoy it. We have some items out of the Daily Digest, and number one would be that the Children's Discovery Museum will unveil its new logo during a party from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. February 20th. Admission is free. Activities include a mystery hunt, a game of, quote, spot the difference, quote, and keychain making and icon maps. A $20 discount on memberships will be offered all day, in addition to a 20% discount on museum store purchases. So that's something to think about for February the 20th. On page 3, we find an article that goes with the city council issues and searches. It's council hires city manager search firm. The city of Bloomington will spend $20,000 to conduct a national search to find Bloomington's next city manager. Even though a couple of aldermen think there is a suitable candidate doing the job already. At a special meeting Monday, the City Council voted 6-2 to hire Northbrook-based GovHR USA LLC to run the search. In other business, the Council approved spending $95,000 to buy vacant property at 404 East Washington Street, adjoining the city-owned former Coachman Motel site, for future redevelopment, and set a hearing on proposed tax increments financing district to spur redevelopment there. And at the nearby former Bloomington High School building on the eastern edge of downtown. Steve Rasmussen, then assistant city manager, was named interim city manager November 8th to replace David Hales, who became Joliet's city manager and has said he would be a candidate for the permanent appointment. I, quote, "I think that we have a perfectly good candidate in-house right now, and I would prefer to see us move in that direction instead," end quote, said Ward 1 Alderman Jamie Mathey, who, along with Ward 7 Alderman Scott Black, voted against the measure for the search, the hired search. Normal said the same firm to seek candidates, use the same firm to seek candidates to replace city manager Mark Peterson, who plans to retire at the end of March. After a national search that yielded 49 applicants, the town chose its own deputy city manager, Pam Reese, for the job. In other action Monday, the council voted 6-1 to set an April 9th public hearing for creating a TIF district beyond bounded by an alley between East Monroe and East Jefferson Streets on the north, North Gridley Street on the west, East Front Street on the south, and North Evans Street on the east. Ward 5 Alderwoman Johnny Painter voted no. Ward 4 Alderwoman Amelia Baragas recused herself, and Ward 8 Alderman Diane Hallman was absent. Iceberg Development Group, LLC of LeClaire, Iowa, purchased the 100-year-old former BHS building at 510 East Washington for $400,000 with plans to convert the second and third floors into 58 apartments for people 55 and older and lease space to commercial and nonprofit users on the first floor. In a TIF district, increased property tax revenue generated by improvements in the district, the increment is diverted from tax bodies into a fund dedicated to redevelopment. Iceberg projects its total investment to be $17 million. Under a TIF redevelopment agreement the council adopted in June, the city would rebate 80% of the property tax increment generated by Iceberg's improvements, up to $1.3 million or 11.8% of the total project cost, whichever is less. In a related matter, Mayor Terry Ranner cast a tie-breaking vote to approve purchasing the vacant property at 408 East Washington Street. The city staff said the purchase would enlarge the former hotel site to an acre, making it more attractive for redevelopment. And now we'll go on to think about today in history. Today is Ash Wednesday, February 14th, the 45th day of 2018. There are 320 days left in the year, and this is Valentine's Day. If you didn't know it, on February 14th of 1918, Russia converted from the old-style Julian calendar to the new-style Gregorian calendar, which, with, quote, kind of losing 13 days in the process, for Russians, the day before was January 31st, so quite an interesting jump there. If you weren't aware of it, in 1663, New France, which was the name for Canada, became a royal province under King Louis XIV. And in 1903, the Department of Commerce and Labor was established. It was divided into separate departments of commerce and labor in 1913, so that was just like 10 years later. And let's see, in 1990, 92 people were killed when an Indian Airlines passenger jet crash was landing on a southern Indian airport. So with those thoughts in mind, and in 1988, Broadway composer Frederick Lowe, who wrote Camelot, passed away at the age of 86 in 1988. Now, we're going to go to Flick's question of the day, Flick's fact. The so-called Battle for I-74, Illinois State and Bradley University, revive night one of the longest and most heated rivalries in men's collegiate basketball. Which institution is older, Bradley or ISU? For extra credit, can you put ISU, Bradley, Wesleyan, Eureka, U of I, Northwestern, Southwestern, North, and Eastern Illinois in order of their ages? Let's see what the answer is. ISU is actually 40 years older than Bradley, which in turn is one of Illinois' younger universities. The order is Illinois Wesleyan, 1850, Northwestern, 1851, Eureka, 1855, ISU, 1857, U of I, 1867, SIU, 1869, EIU, and NIU, 1895, Bradley, 1897, and WIU, 1899. We're going to take a short break while you process all of that and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. So please stay tuned.